and open them to Matthew chapter 15. We'll be reading there in just a moment. Matthew chapter 15. This evening, just for the next few minutes, I would like to consider one of the most important topics that the Bible talks about in reference to our responsibilities to the Lord. In fact, it's a topic so great that we're told that when a sinner does this, there's rejoicing in heaven. And the subject we're talking about is that of repentance. Repentance is vital. If I am going to be faithful to God, if God is going to look at me as an obedient servant, as one who is prepared for heaven to be with God, I have to come to God with a spirit of repentance. It's been the message of the gospel from the beginning has been blessings come upon those who repent. Matthew 3:2, John the Baptist, for example, came upon the scene after 400 years of silence and said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And shortly after that, Jesus joined John in this message of repentance in Matthew 4:17 and said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Paul, in Acts chapter 17, verse 30, says that God is now declaring to men everywhere that all should repent. When it comes to the gospel, when it comes to being right with the Lord, there is no such thing as a come-as-you-are and stay-as-you-are approach. It is a come-as-you-are with the intention to change, with the intention to repent. If we are to be right with God, we have to rethink everything about our lives as far as what is sin, what is righteousness, and what is my purpose. And so for a few moments this evening, I would like to consider the topic of repentance. And the first point that I'd like to make about repentance is a matter of the heart. It is something that takes place first in the heart. And the reason I know this is true is because sin is a matter of the heart. In Matthew 15, verse 19, Jesus makes this statement, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders." And so Jesus talks about the nature of sin and where sin originates. It originates in my heart. And therefore, if I'm to repent of those things, I'm going to need to change my heart. Look at Joel chapter 2. Throughout the prophets, we read of half-hearted repenting, and we read of true, genuine repentance. And what we learn time and time again is that repentance must take place in the heart. It is not merely a ceremony. It is not an outward display. It is a change of one's thinking, of one's will towards sin and righteousness. In Joel chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, we read of this type of returning to the Lord. "Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart and with fasting, weeping, and mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. Now return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, and relenting of evil." And the Lord, "Return to me now, come back, and tear your heart, change your heart, and not just your garments." You see, the tearing of the garments was sort of an outward display of sorrow. And there are certainly times where it would have been appropriate for the children of Israel to tear their garments, to show that sort of passion and concern for what they have done. But if all one does is tear the garments and rip the clothes, but yet there is no tearing of the heart, no bending of the heart towards God, then the tearing of the garments does little good. Perhaps as we are about ready to offer this evening the invitation of the Lord, an outward sign of repentance would be maybe come forward. And there's times in our lives where we owe the congregation that is the right thing to do. But yet if our vision of repentance is just coming forward and doing something to show people that maybe you know you were sort of wrong, but that's all it is, and there's no heart involvement in that, then that is an empty repentance. Look at the book of Hosea. Hosea points out how genuine repentance must be. It must be true. It must be real. It must be sincere. In Hosea 6, verses 4 through 6, God voices his frustration with people for a repentance that was anything but heartfelt. What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? For your loyalty is like a morning cloud, and like the dew which goes away early. Therefore I have hewn them in pieces by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth. And the judgments on you are like the light that goes forth. For I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice, and in knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. And see, Israel, they were good at, well, coming back, offering a few sacrifices, doing a few things that they know God had asked them to do. But yet, where was the loyalty? Where was the commitment? Where was the heart? Where was the sincerity in their return to the Lord? They're compared to the morning dew. It's there, you look, and then you go about your business, and you look outside again, and it's gone, just as quickly as it came. And that's what their repentance was like. They would say, here's some sacrifices for sin. I've done some wrong things. But yet the next day, they would be distracted, and they would be going down a different path, chasing different gods. I find it interesting what they say in verses 1 through 3. Because when you read their mentality and their, we'll call it coming forward, they say all the right things. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, but he will heal us. He has wounded us, but he will bandage us. He will revive us after 2 days. He will raise us up on the third day that we may live before him. So let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His going forth is as certain as the dawn, and he will come to us like the rain, like the spring rain watering the earth. And so that's their attitude. We're coming back. We're going to know the Lord. We're going to press on to know the Lord. But yet those were just empty words. The heart wasn't involved. The commitment wasn't involved. And so the Lord just cries out, what shall I do with you? Your loyalty is like the morning cloud or morning dew. Repentance must be a matter of the heart. I must have determined in my heart, in my mind, that I want to serve the Lord. A second thing that is important to understand about repentance is that repentance is always shown with a candid recognition of sin. Repentance is always shown with a candid recognition of sin. Turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. We have a good example of the attitude that one has towards his sin when he is preparing to repent. Psalm 51, verse 4. David writes, against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. You see David's attitude towards his sin. Against you and you alone, Father, I have sinned. I have done what is wrong in your sight. Your judgments upon this matter are right and true because I have wronged you. I have gone against your holy law. I'm not impressed when people maybe voice a repentance, but yet it's veiled with accusations towards those who have done them wrong in their life. You'll occasionally hear people say things like, well, I'm not perfect and I did wrong in this. And you're not perfect either. And you can kind of hear all this sort of pushing off their responsibility, pushing off their the reality of what they've actually done when they've offended the Lord. There was a young man who a few years ago was needing to make things right with a congregation in Lincoln. And it took all the effort in the world to get him to want to tell people that he understood he had offended them and offended the Lord. And when he finally did, he went through, confessed a couple things he had done wrong, and then he went on and said this, you need to pray for yourselves. that you guys can recognize that you're sinners like I have recognized I'm a sinner. That sort of attitude is not an attitude that someone who is demonstrating real repentance would say. When I am responsible for my sin, and when I recognize that, I'm not pointing fingers, I'm not blaming anyone else. I am sorry for what I have done. And that sort of sorrow is the type of sorrow that will prompt repentance. Well, the third thing I'd like us to know about repentance is that repentance is now going to be shown by a new meekness. I have decided in my heart that I want to change. I've taken responsibility for my sin. And now, Lord, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, I am ready to be led. Look at Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5. Again, the problem with both Israel and Judah was their unwillingness to repent and allow God to tell them how to live and to tell them what to do. And in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 3, you read of the opposite of a meek spirit that was demonstrated by them. Let's read verses 2 and 3. And although they say, as the Lord lives, surely they swear falsely. O Lord, do not your eyes look for truth? You have smitten them, but they did not weaken. You have consumed them, but they refused to take correction. They have made their faces harder than rock. They have refused to repent. And here we read the description of people who, no matter what happens to them, no matter what sort of punishment and discipline that God might administer to them, they refuse to be corrected. They refuse to change. It is really devastating to watch people whose faces are hard to the will of God, who would rather show God their back as they walk away from Him as opposed to following Him faithfully. In Psalm 32, verse 9, we're told not to be like the horse that requires a bit and bridle, or else he will not hear you. We need to be people who come to Jesus with a meek and gentle spirit, ready to be led. Look at Psalm 40. Psalm 40. We actually looked at this passage this morning, except as it was used in the book of Hebrews to refer to Jesus. But this is, again, the attitude that the servant of God, the one who is repenting, will demonstrate before God. Psalm 40, verse 8. I delight to do your will, O God. O my God, your law is within my heart. I delight to do your will. Whatever you ask of me, Lord, whatever you teach in your word, that I am willing to do, and it will be my joy to follow you. And so today, of course, our message is repent if you need to repent. And you might not have all the answers. You might not even understand all that it's going to take in your life. But what you do need to understand is whatever God teaches in His Word, and as I learn it, as I understand it, that I will do. Well, if this is our attitude, then repentance will be shown by my changed life. Repentance is shown by a changed life. Look at Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. And here we have John the Baptist talking about those who would want to come to God but still live the same way that they had lived before. And so he tells them in verse 8, therefore bear fruits in keeping with repentance. And do not say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our fathers, for I say to you that from these stones God is able to raise up children to Abraham. And what we learn about repentance is repentance will show itself in the fruits of the one who's repented. In Acts chapter 26, verse 20, it's spoken this way, deeds appropriate for repentance. You can look at a person who's repented, and down the road you can see they've made changes in their life. That's illustrated very well in verses 10 through 14 of Luke chapter 3. As John is preaching the message of repentance to these people, to the crowds, they start to ask him in verse 10, what shall we do? And in verses 11, he starts to teach the multitudes of some fruits of repentance. This is what it will look like. And he would answer and say to them, the man who has two tunics is to share with him who has none. And he who has food is to do likewise. And some tax collectors also came to be baptized. And they said to him, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than what you have been ordered to. Some soldiers were questioning him, saying, and what about us? What shall we do? And he said to them, do not take money from anyone by force or accuse anyone falsely, and be content with your wages. And in this short paragraph, as John is telling these people what it means to repent, take the things that you know are wrong, whatever is inconsistent with the will of God, and make those changes. The one who repents, you will be able to see it by their changed lives. What is it that you need to change? What is it about your life that is inconsistent with the will of God? It's a fair question to ask. Have you changed recently? Because the life of a Christian is one of constant adjustment. It is one that is, again, approaching their life and approaching the Word of God with an attitude that I need to know better and I need to do differently. There are ways in which I fall short in walking walking in line with my Master, Jesus Christ. And I need to be making progress by making changes in my life. That is what repentance does. Thanks for your attention this evening. We've been encouraging us all to take evaluation of our heart and to be people who will repent. Because that is one of the very core tenets of the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. I need to understand that repentance isn't just an outward display. It's not just something that I show to people, but it's something that takes place in my heart, the same place where sin originates. And if I am going to be able to repent and change, I need to have a candid recognition of the sin that I've committed, the sin that I and I alone am responsible for. I need to come to God with a meek attitude. Whatever it is, Lord, that is your will, whatever you desire me to do, that I will do. And then I will be able to show that repentance by the fruit of my life, by the changes that I have made. If you are not a Christian this evening, of course, repentance is only part of that message. In Acts 2, verse 38, Peter said to those who were pierced to the heart at the preaching of the message of Jesus, what shall we do? And he said, repent and let each of you be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If that is something that you need to do and you're ready to come to God with that meek spirit that desires to be led by Him, then we would be delighted and excited to rejoice with you as you can clothe yourself with Christ and have your sins taken away as you repent of them. And if you're a brother or sister who's wandered off course and you need to come back, you need to make it right with the brethren and make it right with the Lord, we want to encourage you to do that, and we as a family will do what we can to support you and help you live a faithful life with God. Are you subject to the Lord's invitation in any way this evening? Please come to the front while together we stand and sing. Are you